here we are, and it just seems like part of our morning now every day is coming in and assessing why the Cubs are bad when they were supposed to be good.
I keep thinking about, I mentioned this during transition the other day, I keep going back to this show in January and February and looking over to my left and Layla being like, sure, they can re-sign Cody Bellinger, but they should probably do more because you're just bringing back the same team if you just signed Cody Bellinger. And you were right.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of criticism for it on multiple platforms. If you don't understand why they didn't make X and Y deal, then you should trust Jed. Sir, I trust no man. Especially not to build teams. Like, even guys you could trust, they don't always have the right idea about something. There are variables here, people. But what am I supposed to do about it now? One of those guys was Jordan Montgomery, which I still think is a good choice. I know that's crazy, but for $25 million, it makes sense in the Delta. Anyway, like, what do you do? I heard you guys talk about this in really good segments, I'd say the first 2 days of the week. I feel like other bards who cover the Cubs are also saying the same things we are. So when it comes to the assessment, this doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure that out.
They counted on a lot of things going well.
They counted on streaky hitters staying streaky, which is really dangerous. Like, you forget about Patrick Wisdom having an outstanding month of April last season. You forget about Marcus Stroman being ridiculously good for the first half of last year. You forget about Yan Gomes providing hits. The most staggering number to me, and credit to Steve Greenberg for this, after the game on Sunday, which I feel like for whatever reason, the Brewers series are benchmarks, you know, similarly to Bears and Packers, but I think at least with the Cubs and Brewers, it's been competitive. And it's that their numbers with runners in scoring position with two outs, which is when they typically have runners in scoring position, is 181. Period. Paragraph.
The idea that they feel they have to rely on stringing outcomes together, whether there's one out, two outs, zero outs, if this guy does this, so many things have to go right and so many things can go wrong when you're not controlling your offense through power.
The really disturbing part to me too is just that everything we saw in September is continuing this season.
Yes. See, that's the part that upsets me, Layla, because whether it's the Cubs or people who are fervent Cubs supporters and they talk about, well, their record this time last year was the same. They won 83 games.
They were a better team last year, too.
But
others got better, though.
There was a great streak of games where the Cubs went crazy.
Go crazy!
And before that, they were bad. And after that, they were bad. And the end result was 83 wins. And you brought back essentially the same team, thinking that they were going to somehow be better. I don't know how you can look at the decisions that were made and go, yeah, that's a good way of operating. And that's why I go back to what Layla was talking about in the winter of, if you thought the Cubs lineup was going to far exceed what they had shown you for most of the season last year, then that's on you. Like, that's on the front office. If you think that you can't, that you don't want more pop in the lineup, that you think that you're going to string outcomes together, that's on you.
There's some issues there too. Like, I'll admit this. If I'm the GM of the Cubs, I'm probably being loyal to Kyle Hendricks to an extent the next season, given what he did. You know, it's a dangerous decision, but one that, if you look at it from a human element, made sense. You know, the Ian Happ contract made sense coming off of the year he had. I understand that. But the concern is not just what you guys aptly said yesterday when I think the discussion was brought up about how the good the good players are not doing enough good to overbalance the bad ones. But it's also to me that not only is the payroll skewed heavily in that direction, but also who in the farm system can you look forward to right now where you're saying either you can trade tradable prospects, guys who still have an air of mystery around them or something like it, for somebody you need, or...
Don't bring the prospect humpers out, because they'll crawl out of their holes right now and start firing off missives about everybody who's blocked by the current Major League roster, who is keeping them from ushering in the next great wave.
If you think that the Cubs management has a chance to get better, knowing their payroll and knowing what their budget is and what they're up against, and they wouldn't bring those people up right now, knowing the windows that we know, I think that would be an accusation that is misguided.
Let's stay with Bellinger for one second, because you brought that up, and you brought up what you said originally when they re-signed Bellinger, because I'm also mindful of what his agent, Scott Boras, said about the questions about his declining hard hit rate and whether or not that mattered. And remember that Boras said, if you actually look at the at-bats and look at some of the
swing planes
or the actual results, the batted ball events, that he was essentially taking one for the team, that his strikeout numbers dropped precipitously, his bat to ball contact numbers were much better, and that was it was a decision on his part to change his profile in that regard. So when asked after the game last night about power and production, this is what he had to say.
Obviously, well aware. but, you know, for me, like, and probably most players, if you start chasing the slug, then, you know, it can go downhill pretty quick, and that's one thing you focus on. So something that I always strive to do is continue staying within myself, obviously working towards, you know, the end goal, and, you know, just continue sticking to my approach.
The concept of chasing slug is an interesting one, because there are some people who are unapologetic sluggers. That's who they are. It's what they do. Kyle Schwarber is a perfect example of that. That they're going to give you slug.
He's going to give you on base too.
Yeah, they go the old fashioned Adam Dunn three true outcome. And where what Bellinger's saying is, I can do that if you want, but then you got to deal with my strikeouts.
You got to deal with the fact that I'm probably going to hit around 240.
That'd be great. 240. If he gave me 240 with 37 home runs,
but
I'm in.
Here's the thing, though, is he's illustrating a much bigger problem the second you think about it, because you're like, oh no, what can they afford to have happen here? And that's the real issue. You can't have people take risks when you don't have the leeway.
He would be one of the guys who would theoretically give others the leeway.
Correct.
And then everybody's sort of pointing at each other like, maybe you'll hit 25 home runs. Maybe you'll hit 25. Like most importantly, as we pointed out from that Northside Baseball piece, what it does is it protects you from what's currently happening with their bad players. That whoever they are, these interchangeable parts at the bottom of the roster have been so awful, regardless, that they don't have cover.
Credit to Northside Baseball, sure. But we watch the games. And to me, my take of it is that the numbers themselves that are simple dictate to you what's going on. It's just as simple as when I saw the Atlanta Braves lose 1-0 to the White Sox. How do you explain their second place finish right now, and their position where they're at in their division, when the Phillies are just world beaters? Look at the basic numbers for the team hitting, and they're in the middle. And that's exactly what you see out of the Cubs.
Bellinger is probably the only we know that he's actually done this before, even though it was a long time ago, but probably the only player that could be a six war player.
I need guys to get to 4.3.
Nope, but they've got guys that can do that. And Bellinger was one of those guys last year. But that's the thing. They have a couple of good players on their team. They don't have a star.
The Miami Marlins are the worst offensive team in baseball. Their WRC plus is 77 as a team.
So but like, just
that's,
look at
that's bargain basement. They're below the White Sox.
So Tim Anderson, well,
to me,
confirmed.
Like team OPS is the real dictator here. Correct.
Well, WRC Plus has everything. That's like, power, that's on base, that's everything.
When you see like the team OPS, and that the team OPS for the Sox is 670, or the Cubs is 677, the team OPS for the Sox is 628. But when you see that, that kind of dictates to you what you're looking at. It
does. So 677 is about league average now, right? Like, yeah. aren't we in the, for OPS, aren't we talking like 680, 690?
The problem with OPS is the denominators are different and it's not run environment or park adjusted. So it doesn't take into account all the factors of the current baseball that's being played, which is why, you know, weighted on base usually gives you a little better version of that because it takes out all the noise. And then WRC Plus further sharpens it because it's basically a better version of OPS. And right now, your Atlanta Braves are exactly in the middle. Your average offensive team at exactly 100 is the Braves.
And here's the Orioles.
And the Cubs are at 94.
Right. And here's the Orioles at like 429 RBI as a team. Yankees at 422. Nobody's surprised by that, right? Like look at the good teams, and that gives you an indication of how bad this is.
To go back to war, the Yankees have a 6-4 player. The Orioles have a 6-4 player.
Well, and say what you want about the Jason Hayward contract until the cows come home. But here's the bottom line.
Might already be at 6-4.
They had three players that year, position players who had a 5-WAR, and that was the formula to win the World Series, and it was going to cost you. So, like, unfortunately, when you're watching the game last night with Seiya Suzuki hitting that home run to cut it to 6-4.
Yeah, Gunnar Henderson is already a 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's outrageous.
Already.
Yeah, and that's worth, each win is worth approximately now, I believe it's, what, $8.2 million per win?
How about that? They got one of those.
That's what it costs.
When you got one of those, it makes a hell of a difference.
That's the value that you get because that protects you from the bad bottom third of your roster bottoming out. That protects you from your 20 blown saves or whatever they've had. Well, that when you have the adding up, like Carter Hawkins is fond of saying, a run is a run is a run. A run scored is equal to a run prevented. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, all of these outcomes, that's what war is. It adds up to runs. It's based on runs above average for base running, for offense, for defense.
Well, it sure is adding up for the Cubs.
Exactly. Like this is where last year you could make the argument that it wasn't. This year you can't.
Someone hit me up on Twitter yesterday as I was fighting back the prospect humpers. And made a really good point.
Back prospect hunters.
The point, and it's a good one, that, and I think that it exemplifies what the Cubs are under this regime. They love to try and win in the margins.
It's what happens when your standards are win the division, and your division is this.
I don't even know if their standard was win the division this year. I don't feel like they put together a team that was to be competitive. It's an easier route. I feel like because of where things stand with the wild card, that they think just get in and we can be the Rangers or we could be the Diamondbacks.
No.
But you can't because you don't play the game like the Diamondbacks did last year and you don't slug like the Rangers did last year.
The Diamondbacks had an outstanding diversified lineup where number one, you knew who the leadoff batter was every day. And they were able to not their defensive run save metrics in the outfield, by the way, were outrageous.
Yeah. And they got after you and they made it hard on you. And this is not what we're seeing with the Cubs.